Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto.us.
Visit Modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Moto offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at Modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Karen Reed back in court again today, and we're going to take you right there for all of the coverage of what's going on in that courtroom and the follow-ups with Judge Beverly Cannone. Let's go there right now.
I understand Cuomo's argument regarding waiver. I understand that the request is now on the table. I'm not going to need to give you this information, Mr. Brennan. I don't even think it's appropriate for me to ask, so your motion is denied.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Talk about
impanelment.
The
parties need
5 minutes.
Yes, please. All right, so the court, please. Back in session, you may be seated.
All right, so I looked at the proposed supplemental questionnaire. They're very similar. So I have a question. So the Commonwealth on your number 5 on the first page. I don't like the 2 questions in a row, 4 and 5. I don't think we need 5. Is that okay with you, Mr. Brennan? I don't think we need both.
It should be done.
Yeah. So that's out. So I'll go through, actually I'd like to go through the first page of each. The first page of the defendants, number 13. Do you believe law enforcement officers are generally fair and accurate in their investigations? Who's arguing this for the defense?
I can argue it.
All right, so I don't have a problem with that, but it makes sense that we put it after 8, those series of questions.
No objection to that.
All right. Any objection to question number 13 and putting it at 9, Mr. Brennan?
I don't have any objection to moving it after 9. I think it's a bit one-sided. It means sort of one-sided, but I don't have a strong objection to it.
And we can balance it if you want to suggest some language.
If there's an invitation to balance, I'll need a moment.
Alright, so you can suggest something at some point. Alright, so now moving on to the second page. The Commonwealth's number 17 seems appropriate to me, but if you were working for the same document, it's not in the defense when it was removed, I guess. Is there anything about crash reconstruction testimony that would make it difficult for you to be fair and impartial in this case? I don't have a problem with that question. Does the defense?
We didn't have a real objection to it. It just wasn't a particularly useful question. We thought of the last trial. Everyone said no. So in furtherance of trying to have additional space for more helpful questions, we just decided to exclude it.
All right. I think we'll keep it. There's one I do want to get rid of. It caused problems last time, but we'll talk about that later. All right, so thank you. So question number 23 on the defense. Does the Commonwealth object to that question? I think it needs to be tweaked at the least.
We do.
All right, so what's the objection?
I think the question, the way it's written, invites a juror to potentially not follow the judge's instruction. And so I understand the attempt, the idea of it, the germ of it, but the way it's written, it invites, I think, a juror to usurp what their role is.
And what do you say to Ms. Little?
I think if we just tweak the language a bit, I mean, we're happy to hear some proposals from the DA as to sort of the particular issue to have this question, but I do think the question about the judge's instruction regarding, you know, you're entitled to your own independent and individual verdicts.
So they're always told that their verdict must be their own. So there's language in there's probably language in my preliminary instructions, there's language in the charge, certainly. So if it mirrors that language, I don't have a problem with it. Otherwise, I might. So
we can mirror the
talk to each other.
The court's charge.
All right. So
we would agree to that as well.
Okay. Thank you. Number 25 in the defendants. If you had to vote today on whether Ms. Reed is guilty or not guilty of the crime as charged, what would your vote be? I tell them throughout the trial they're not to speculate, they're not to make up their minds until all the evidence is in. I'm not going to even suggest that this is appropriate. So I'm not going to include that. There are enough questions on reasonable doubt, presumption of innocence, and defendant not testifying. So that's out. So the question, also, is there any reason why you do or do not want to serve on this jury? I don't think we should invite them to decide whether they want to sit on this jury or not. I think we did give this last time. I don't know what the responses were. Does anybody have any information on that for me?
I don't remember.
I think most of them were no. I think 27 kind of hits the same sort of... If
right.
You have general concerns about the case, so I don't have a strong objection.
If that's what we're getting at, we've got it in 27. So I'm inclined not to put it on there. And again, I can hear from you beforehand. Probably invited, I don't want to bring you back.
May I alert the court's attention? There's two on the first page that were slightly worded differently in the Commonwealth proposed questionnaire and the defendant's
proposed numbers?
If the court looks at number 4, on the defendant's questionnaire, we had kind of combined the Commonwealth's proposed questions 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So that's one question.
So that's, and I just got rid of Commonwealth's 5.
Perfect.
So this one's better. So we will use that.
Okay. And then number 7 that was proposed by the defense, that is the same, similar question as number 8 in the Commonwealth's proposed questionnaire.
Yes.
It's just different language.
I thought it was the same.
So we changed it to say, would you tend to believe or disbelieve law enforcement officers, firefighters, or first responders more than a civilian witness simply because of their occupation, as opposed to automatically believe?
So we typically ask the automatically. What's the Commonwealth's position on this?
I have a strong preference. I'll defer to the court.
All right, so I will think about that.
Thank you,
Your
Honor.
All right, so the question that I don't like, and you may remember, causes a lot of jurors to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. 21 on the Commonwealth, 20 on the defense. So you may find a defendant guilty based on circumstantial evidence, but you cannot find a defendant guilty based on speculation, guesswork, or surmise. Is it difficult for you to understand the difference between circumstantial evidence, speculation, guesswork, and surmise?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
It's your number 20. We're not going to read it again. It caused a lot of trouble before. I think in every single one I had to repeat myself. With the instruction that I gave in anticipation of this, I gave them a pre-charge on circumstantial evidence and not being able.
Yes, just the way that it's phrased in the Commonwealth's questionnaire, it makes it seem that the Commonwealth doesn't have to meet their burden of proof.
I think it should be omitted completely.
I have no issue with that. It's just the way that it's phrased in the Commonwealth's questionnaire.
It's too confusing in my mind.
Okay, it took up, if you remember, it took up an inordinate amount of time with virtually every single juror. Okay.
We have no problem with that.
All right, so that will be omitted. All right, so that's that. Mr. Glockman, I think you said, and I think I cut you off the other day, that the third page was right from Chisholm. I reread Chisholm, well, 95 pages of it the other day, and I didn't see it. Where does this third page come from? The publicity one.
The questions come from Chisholm that were asked in the juror questionnaire. The other, some of the other cases, questions were part of the juror questionnaire in the prior trial that just moved over to this page. So this page dealt with a questionnaire exclusively on the trial publicity.
Okay. All right. I think that we all know many, if not most, perhaps all, the potential jurors have heard about this case. Giving them the opportunity to write the details that they recall down may take an awful lot of time and space that we don't have on this form, and frankly, I don't think we have. So, what are your positions on? What's your position on three?
Yeah,
All right, I'm not sure two lines are enough space for it, frankly. All right, I guess we'll see what we can do. I didn't realize it came directly, same language. Okay, looks like we're giving this third page of the questionnaire. Yes, Mr.
Your Honor, I want to bring the court's attention something about the court and counsel just discussed question number 7. Could I ask the court to direct its attention to question
number 7? Which
sorry,
page? Sorry. Third page or previous page?
The defendant's questionnaire on the first page. That was the question. I think the court's going to consider whether to use the word automatic or tend to.
Yeah.
I believe that should be broken into two questions. It doesn't tell us anything. For instance, the way it's written in the disjunctive, would you tend to believe or disbelieve law enforcement officers, firefighters, first responders, more than civilian witnesses, just simply because of their occupation. If someone says yes, we don't know if that's believe or tend to disbelieve. So I think if we just break it into two questions and now we've got the space to do it, that would be more instructive.
Why does it matter if it's an automatic belief?
I'm not worried about the automatic part. It's the believe or disbelieve. That's the part that doesn't help us.
Right. So if it's automatic, simply because of a person's occupation, this juror would automatically either believe or automatically disbelieve. How does it make that person a fit juror? Why do you need it?
Because that tells us, it would instruct me at least, it would enlighten me on how to further question that juror. If someone says, well, I'd automatically disbelieve police officers, or I'd automatically believe police officers, those are two very different mindsets.
So I understand that. I'll consider it. I think we keep it as one, and then if they say yes, we inquire into it.
Okay.
Maybe. Let me see.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so it looks like we have the third page as well. I think. Um, I have the statutory questions that I would ask of Manai, right? If we take that question that Mr. Jackson just talked about, I can ask each individual juror, if I use the tend language, if the testimony were in conflict, would you tend to believe the testimony of a police officer more than any other witness simply because he or she is a police officer? And then conversely, would you tend to disbelieve a police officer simply because he or she is a police officer? I typically do that at sidebar in every case asked exactly like that. So it makes more sense to me that we do it that way rather than a questionnaire. But if you want another questionnaire, it will stay as it is. So what's your thoughts on
that? That would be the defendant's preference.
Do you care, Mr. Brennan?
We prefer a questionnaire.
All right. So I'll think about it. I'll do it one way or the other, and you'll know next week. So one of the things that I was considering doing, so we have a lot of jurors coming in next week. On Tuesday, 218 jurors have been summoned, is my understanding. We will get some portion of that. We will get some fraction of that, maybe, just on how it goes with whether people are here and available to testify on that date. I mean, to serve as jurors. So say we get like 150 or 175 jurors. I have my remarks to sort of just direct them to what their job is, as you remember, and then I leave and I give them the questionnaires. My guess is for the jurors to fill out this questionnaire, have the questionnaires collected and copied, might take an hour and a half or 2 hours if we have a really large number of people. What I intend to do, at least on Tuesday, is have all the jurors fill out the questionnaire, however long it takes. And depending on how many jurors we have and what time it is, maybe take 50 of the last jurors or so, send them home, and have them come back the next day at 11 o'clock. If we've got fantastic court security here, hopefully we've got a courtroom to keep people in. There are a lot of things we have to juggle to get this done, and I don't want to waste jurors' time. So I would send them home, have them come back the next day at like 11, so that then the next day's jurors at 11 o'clock can spend that hour and a half, 2 hour process, filling out the forms, having them copied, given to counsel, and we can continue on with those jurors. So it's something we can decide on Tuesday when we see how many people are here, how many jurors we get, how many jurors the district court needs. But is that a process that you would be willing to do, Mr. Brennan?
Of course. No objection.
All right, so we'll try and figure out something that way to get things moving that way. All right. The list of witnesses. You both have a list of witnesses. I told you you needed to combine them so that I can read that to the jury and a statement of the case to the jury. Do you have that yet?
No. We have not combined them.
All right. So I need you to look at that and a statement of the case to read to the jurors. It's all part of the final trial conference. So I should have had it last week. So I need that by Thursday. Is there anything else we need to discuss today?
There's still a few outstanding issues. One is ARPA.
And where do you stand with discovery on that?
Well, I received some TUI letters last night. It is not the information I was seeking from my motion that was allowed by the court. And so I have grave concerns about waiting for the day before their testimony to pursue the other discovery that I have been entitled to.
What do you say, Mr. Jackson?
Your Honor, I do not know what Mr. Brennan is referring to with regard to what he's looking for and grave concerns. The hyperbole is unnecessary.
So there was a motion allowed. So that should be able to, there was a motion for the discovery allowed a while back.
It was.
That should narrow.
Right.
Right?
Pardon me?
That should narrow things.
It does. And we have not, I attempted to confer this morning with Mr. Brennan. And my recommendation to the court would be for us to confer further, because I just don't understand what he thinks is out there, but we haven't conferred fully either.
Okay. All right. So do that. We can address this next week. People probably have plenty of time to sort of tie up loose ends during the impoundment process, because I think it's going to take a very long time to get a jury.
Understood. And I expect we'll file a response to a proposed expert who received their report last night. And I didn't receive it until later, which I want to have a chance to respond to.
Okay.
And Your Honor, if I could please one more item when it's appropriate for Your Honor.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. We did receive the, Your Honor may recall the argument over Dr. Welcher in Your Honor's direction request, and then the assent of the Commonwealth that they would redo what they had provided, that 140-slide presentation. We did receive that, but we received a lot of other material in addition to that, huge megabytes. I haven't even been able to open it up. It takes so long to open it up. I respectfully request that we, Your Honor, grant us, please, two more days than what we had to take a look at that, because it's just taken an extraordinary amount of time.
Makes sense, Mr. Brennan.
I can be clear, there's no new information. What Mr. Welcher did is that all the information he bases his opinions on was in the gigabytes we provided to the defense, but he wanted to make it as seamless as possible, so to effectively hold their hand through it, he put each site under each slide so they can find it in the file folders exactly where it is. So it's instructive and helpful, but it's not new.
If I may, I don't disagree with Mr. Brennan's characterization. However, it is still 140 slides or so. I was expecting a rather substantial narrowing, so what we have to do is we have to go, and unfortunately, I think Your Honor is going to hear similar points that we made, but it's going to take more time, because I had the expectation, maybe unreasonably so, that it would be a narrowed slide presentation. So I'd appreciate the two extra days.
All right, so when does that put us up? What was the time frame originally?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't have the specific date handy right now.
The time frame as far as the response?
Yes.
Well, we were supposed to exchange discovery yesterday. And so I had that presentation sent over last night. They sent over the TUI letters, and I received the third dog expert's report.
If I could, Your Honor, I maybe Attorney Brennan misunderstood the question. He is correct that he provided us with the presentation last night, but the question, I believe, Your Honor, was when was our time? Because Your Honor had given us time to respond, and I apologize, I don't have that date, but what I'm just asking for is two more days beyond it.
I don't think I gave the date.
Yeah.
So you have 2 days to respond, is that?
I have 2 days from today?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So there are a few matters outstanding. I will have the decision on the motion to dismiss. I should by the end of the day. Buffer zone, probably by the end of the day. And I'll get everything else done as quickly as possible. All right. Anyone else?
The only other thing is a logistical issue as it pertains to both the voir dire process as well as during the trial. I wanted to ask the court if there was a mechanism by which Ms. Reed could have at counsel table some sort of an earpiece or headphones or something that's slaved to a microphone up at the bench at sidebar so that she can listen in on both. It's very... I want to avoid that if possible. It's clunky. It's especially during the voir dire process. I think it would be uncomfortable, and quite frankly, I think it would be a little inappropriate to have jurors with Ms. Reed standing right there with them and with us.
It's done all the time. It's not
it makes it done all the time, but
it may be something you're choosing not to do. But she has every right to be there at sidebar. So you don't want that. You want some accommodation. I don't know if we can do it. I'll think about it.
We could.
Yeah.
One of the things that we were talking about is potentially a closed circuit wireless microphone up at the bench and a set of headphones here that she could listen in.
Put it all in writing. I would like to have had it before today. We're going to be moving around courtrooms. It may not be able to happen.
Okay.
All right. So the alternative is she can come to sidebar for any sidebar discussion, impanelment, whatever. It's her absolute right. And if she chooses not to do so, I'm going to need you to tell me that.
I'll put something in writing, and perhaps I've got a plan in the back of my head. I'll put it in writing. And
we have a lot of different equipment that we need to make sure has priority to meet the courthouse. So I'm not very hopeful that we can accomplish this in the next few days.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for entertaining.
All right. One thing, when we get the juror questionnaires, the supplemental juror questionnaires that we talked about, and I need you, you both know what my decision is here, other than the 10-2 versus automatic. Let's go with 10-2. And I can either do that at sidebar or in the form. What I'd like you to consider, and lawyers have done this in other cases that I have, is if there are answers that are clearly what you believe would both sides agree jurors excused for cause. In an effort to be able to go through this vast amount of jurors that the jury commissioner's office was kind enough to summon in for us, if things stand out to you, it would be ideal if you could agree that jurors number 8, 12, and 16, both sides agree should be excused for cause based on the supplemental questionnaires. It would be very helpful if we could do that. And maybe keep a running sheet that would be a joint proposal to excuse these jurors for cause. It may happen when you look through the questionnaires on folks that we sent home to have them come back the next day to just call five people, the court officers call them and tell them not to come in based on their questionnaires. So please think about that. It makes sense to me. It was very helpful when lawyers were able to get along well enough to do that in a case that we tried, that we had changed venues on because of the listing also. All right, anything else?
No, thank you.
Your Honor, there was a motion for reconsideration that was filed with regard to the metadata underlined. You can make an objection.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure that the court saw that motion and that it was filed. I don't know if the court wants to hear a oral argument or have to do that, but we just wanted to make sure that that gets decided.
Okay. All right. There's still a few outstanding.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
Not from this issue.
All right. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Court, all right, please.
And that is the latest from the courtroom and the hearing of Karen Reed today. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our conversations about this case, the hearings, and more. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.
Moto.us.
Visit MODO.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
time to play big on Moto Social Casino. America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.